It's an honor to bring to the podium for the first time, to introduce to this church for the first time, our guest speaker this evening. I called him, or texted him rather, Monday, invited him to come just to see if he was available, and of course, he's here, so he was, and so thankful and honored to have Evangelist Brandon Mokas with us, with his family here tonight. And many years ago, more than 20, had a guest back when we were just really small in our storefront down on Blanding Boulevard. A man came in, and he was from Indianapolis, and just really, really, really hit it off with our church, and through the years would visit our church from Indianapolis. And so I've known his father for many years, but I just met him recently, Brother Mokas, and so, but I really just felt a connection, and then when he came to my heart on Monday, I texted him again, like I said, and asked him to come and be with us this evening. So, Brother Mokas, I want you to come and minister and give us what God has laid on your heart for the Pentecostals of Orange Park. Welcome to the podium of the Pentecostals. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Thompson. Amen. Let's give Jesus the hand clap that he deserves tonight. God is good. God is great. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank him. God, you're just wonderful. Thank you for your presence that's here tonight, Lord. Thank you, God, for every man, woman, and young person in this building tonight, Jesus, and the great things that you have in store for each one of us in Jesus' name. God, move in a mighty way tonight. We will not fail to give you glory and honor. Thank you for already moving. Thank you for the liberty that's in this place. Thank you for the worship and the environment of praise and the atmosphere of the glory of God and the anointing that anything is possible in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless each and every one of you. You may be seated. Amen. And I give great honor to Brother and Sister Thompson. Thank God for them, and just such awesome people of God. And he mentioned my dad. My dad would snowbird down here and visit, and this was his go-to church. And so I've been hearing about Brother and Sister Thompson for a couple decades now. Hallelujah. And you guys do live up to the expectation, this church. I'm so thankful to be here. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. Amen. Good to see the Taylors tonight as well. Thank God for them and all of you. Thank God my lovely wife and three girls are here. Amen. And when he texted me, I was driving with my propane tanks. I just got back from preaching up in the panhandle and was kind of getting over something, getting over a little cold or something, kind of under the weather and kind of worn out. And he said, can you come and preach here Wednesday? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to. Hallelujah. And then I park at the Tractor Supply and get those tanks out. And I said, God, what on earth am I supposed to preach Wednesday? And I wish it was this clear every time, but just instantly, God put a message on my heart I've never preached before, and it just all began to flow in my mind, and I wish it came that clear every time. But we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 42. And I'm so thankful to be with you all this evening, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. Hopefully our kids don't fuss and act up too bad. Sometimes when that happens, I say, folks, learn how to make your kids mind in church. Oh, wait a minute, they're my kids. I went to do that one place thinking it was my kids, and it wasn't my kids. Mark 10 and 42, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they were which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Whosoever will be chiefest among you shall be servant of all. Hallelujah. And I'm going to preach on this subject, called to serve. Called to serve. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in your kingdom, the privilege, God, and the opportunity to serve. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that opportunity to give you glory and to ask not what can you do for us or what can the church do for us, but what we can do for you and for your kingdom, and that we could have that right kind of heart. And let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took on him the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Oh God, and help us have that right heart and right spirit, God, in Jesus' name, and help me in delivering this message tonight. God bless all of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn and tell somebody, say, you look pretty good this evening. One preacher said, if you have to lie, you can repent later. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. A servant. Servant of all. Praise God. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's very familiar in our culture, in the church, to say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll be praying about that. And a few months go by. Oh, did you pray about it? Oh, you know, I've kind of forgot. Amen. Somebody kind of well known, this is years, many years ago, said, oh, I've been praying for you. I said, really? And he said, yes. I don't know that he really did, but we've all probably done it. We've all probably said, yeah, I'll pray. So I like to stop right then and pray right then and praise God and pray. Amen. One time I was still in Bible school, and I was out. I used to call it the wilderness there by my apartment complex. I'd go down and into this area where I'd just pray. One night, these three hooligans were coming down the hill, and one of them shouted out and said, how much money you got on you? And there I am alone and praying, and I said, I got the Holy Ghost. And they got very quiet. And then one of them said, say a prayer for me, dog. And so I proceeded after him, and he goes, not right now, not right now. He ended up, I think he was afraid of me, I think. But I make a habit of trying to pray right then and right there. Amen. I'll pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23, the prophet Samuel said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. We think of sin in things of the bank robbery and violence. And he said, sin in ceasing to pray for you. Oh, hallelujah. But I'll teach you the good and the right way. Amen. There's a sin of prayerlessness. I think all of us have been guilty. What peace we often forfeit, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I was convicted recently a time where someone said, can you pray for this? And I said, yes, I would. And I did pray some, but the outcome was not very good. And I look back and I realize I could have prayed a whole lot more about that situation. But we're called to serve. Amen. Amen. Paul said, it's good to be zealously affected always for a good thing. And Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Amen. How many want God to use you in the gifts of the Spirit? Amen. Amen. I'm reminded, you've probably all heard the joke of the lady in church that was praying, God, I want you to use me. I just want to be used. I want you to use me. And later she said, I feel like I've been used. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Wouldn't it be amazing to have word of knowledge come to you so clearly you could just walk up to someone and tell them their name and they say, wow, and then they repent and get saved. And 1 Corinthians 14:25, I think it is, says, if the secrets of men's hearts are revealed, they'll fall down and worship God and report that God is in you of a truth, and they'll repent. And that'd be so awesome. You can just walk up to someone and tell them all these things, and just so amazing. And just builds faith and glory to God. But what if you're all alone and a name comes to you to pray for? Well, no one's going to see me do that. I won't get any attention for doing that. Well, God could be testing you or testing us and having us practice, amen, obedience, praise God, because when God wants someone to pray for someone right at that moment, there's a pastor in this district who used to evangelize, and he was preaching over in Hawaii, and he was scuba diving 70 feet beneath the surface. He ran out of air. His gauge had stuck, which showed he had air, and he went to take a breath and there was no air, and he began to try to get the guide's attention. And finally he took his diver's knife out and started banging on his tank, and the guide was able to get over to him, and by the time the guide got there, he was beginning to convulse and turning black from lack of oxygen. But they were able to get him safely to the surface. The next day his mom said, what were you doing yesterday about 1 o'clock? She said, God spoke to me and said, you need to pray for your son right now. The devil's trying to kill him. Obedience. Obedience. Imagine if she said, well, my prayer time's not till tomorrow. I'll pray for him tomorrow. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. He's mentioned my dad, so I'll go ahead and mention I'm very, very blessed with a kind Christian man as a dad, and over the years I'd pray for him as he sought direction. I'd say, God, speak to him. God, he needs direction. God, speak to him about different career decisions or geographical moves. God, I need you to please speak to him. Well, God spoke to him. One night God gave him a dream and gave him a man's name in the dream. And long story short, this was so unusual, he looked up this name that came to him in a dream. And it was a prison inmate 2 hours from his home. And he told me about this. I said, well, write to him. So he wrote to him, and the man wrote back, and he went and visited the man. Long story short, the man received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The man got baptized in Jesus' name. So I was praying, God give him answers and direction in life, give him this. Well, God chose to speak to him about a man that was suffering with mental anguish and emotional pain in a prison cell who felt forsaken and abandoned. But God wanted somebody to know, wanted to put him on somebody's heart to let him know, amen, that he cares about him. I don't want to sin in ceasing to pray. I remember Sister Nona Freeman. Brother and Sister Freeman, God used them to essentially open the continent of Africa many years ago with the foreign missions program. And tens of thousands of churches were started under their ministry. But when they first applied to the missions board, they were turned down by the missions board. Five times. But she came and spoke at Indiana Bible College, and I'll never forget, she spoke on the spirit of foot washing. The spirit of foot washing. This powerful woman of God could have taught on on how to see visions and how to hear from God and how to operate in the gifts and how to have miracles. She taught on the spirit of foot washing. But I'll never forget it. And she had that brokenness in her spirit. Brother Billy Cole preached on about the reward of sacrifice is the privilege to sacrifice some more. His wife would travail and intercede for hours and hours. A doctor said that she's dying from a broken heart because she would lay on the floor and cry and travail for hours and hours until it actually, after years of that, it actually affected her health. And Brother Cole talked about some of the different cultural expectations overseas and in the country that they were in and that women were treated a certain way that's absolutely nothing like here in America. And someone said, well, Brother Cole, I would never let someone treat my wife that way. And Brother Cole said, that's why God didn't call you. We're called to serve. Amen. We often hear of the late prophet T.W. Barnes, the great miracles, and I've been in services with him and seeing miracles that were done right there while he was even up in age in his 90s. I remember him sitting at a table up on the platform, sitting at a chair at a table just talking to us and God healing people's bodies while he spoke. He told of an instance where he was preaching somewhere and a woman on the front row, she had had a tumor that she had had removed and it left a big scar on her head. And the tumor had grown back. Without anyone praying for her, the Holy Ghost touched her, and the woman reached up, and the tumor was gone, and so was the scar. God's a miracle worker. God's a miracle worker. But one time I was listening to an old recording of Brother Barnes, and my jaw dropped open because he said something I've never heard before. He said there was a woman in his church who would wake up every single morning and pray for 2 solid hours. God, use my pastor. God, speak to him. God, let there be healings. Let there be miracles. God. You hear Brother Barnes, you never hear about her. But heaven knows about her. After years of 2 solid hours every morning praying for him, she said, Pastor Barnes, God has put it on my heart with all that you're going through now and the way times are now. I need to pray at least 3 hours for you. And she upped it to 3. So when you hear people testifying of Brother Barnes and the great miracles, think of a woman that none of us know her name. That was up interceding, God speak to my pastor and missionaries and people from across the world that needed a word would call Prophet Barnes. In fact, one time, it's been many years ago, I took initiative and called him myself. I called Nona Freeman, I called Billy Cole. I don't know if I'd do that today. But I needed a word and I called Brother Barnes and he had a word immediately. Hallelujah. We want to be used by God. When the Apostle Paul was converted and God spoke to a man named Ananias to pray, to go and pray for Saul of Tarsus or Paul, Acts 9 and 15, the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must, all the great miracles he'll see, how effective he'll be. No, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer. Never preached this before. I'm excited to preach it, Brother Thompson. I'm going to go preach on suffering. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Paul's most common epithet he ascribed to himself is the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Greek word for doulos or slave indentured by love. 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. In other words, act like a man. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that he is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Tabitha, in Acts chapter 9, it says she was full of good works and alms deeds, and she had died, and God raised her up. Are we doing enough that if we died, God would want to raise us back up? 1 Corinthians 7:23, he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. I read an article that circulated on the internet. Many of you have probably seen it. The guy who had recently gotten married and wrote this article, Marriage is Not for Me. How many read that article? Okay, good. You don't waste too much time on the internet, okay? That's another sermon. Marriage is not for me, he said. He'd gotten married so many months earlier, and he came to the conclusion, marriage is not for me. Of course, it's a little bit of a play on words as you read the article, because he realizes it's not about me. It's not about myself. I'm married to see how I can serve my wife and give ourselves as Christ did for the church. Amen. Marriage is not for me. How many are married here tonight? The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the sick. It wasn't merely a demonstration of, look how powerful I am. But he was genuinely moved with compassion. If you've ever been afflicted, amen, in your body, there's something in you, hopefully, that says, I don't want somebody else to have to go through this. And sometimes after my worst times of need, amen, lying flat on my back as God began to raise me up, I would go forth with a greater burden, a greater desire, and greater compassion to see others not have to suffer in their lives and in their bodies. And Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. How many want to see the power of God operate? I've seen people that said, God, we want to see your power. We want to see your power. But they lacked love. Faith works by love. Amen. Can someone tell me where the Bible verse is that says if you join the church, everyone in the church is going to treat you right? It promises you, it guarantees you that your brethren are going to love you and treat you just right. Where's that verse at? No, but the Scripture commands us to love our brethren. Amen? It's on us. Hallelujah. The prodigal said, if I can just go and be a servant, if I can just go back to my father's house and be like one of the hired servants. And he was willing to be a servant, and the father restored him to full sonship. Amen? The moment someone is willing to serve, they are eligible for full promotion. There was a woman who was from Wisconsin and went. She was known for winning souls, and she went over to Singapore to work with the Willoughbys there. And she came back, and a businessman from her home church said, "Jenny, I want to write you a check. I want to give you this check for $10,000. Just you do so much. You're so sacrificial. I want to give you this check. I want you just, whatever you need, whatever you want, just go go buy clothes, whatever it is that you want to do. She was wearing worn out clothes, and he said, I want you to just take this check. You know what? You give me that check back. And he wrote her one for $20,000. Well, Jenny called the missionaries and said, hey, we have that money for the sound equipment we need. We can buy that new bass guitar we need. She gave all of it right back. Hallelujah. Amen. We hear about the calling of God. And I believe God calls people in different ways and unique ways. But so often I heard the testimony of those who said, yeah, I ran from the calling for so many years. I can't really say that. I can remember a time just saying, God, please use me. God, please use me. God, please find something for me to do. Find something for me to do. The church I went to in Indianapolis, they said, okay, you can go preach in this nursing home. And so I was preaching there, and a woman came in. She, at the end of the service, she walked up to me, and she said, after I got done preaching, she goes, don't worry, you'll get better. What are some things you can do? How many want some practical things you can do? You can make visitors feel welcome. You can invite them to eat with you. Sit by them. You can teach a Bible study to somebody. You can help at church work day. You could be at prayer meeting. I don't think I'd miss a Saturday night if I was around here. You can say amen to the preaching. That was not a self-serving statement. Or maybe it was. You can pray in the altars. You can support financially. When I was still in Bible school and desperate to do something for God, I want to preach, I want to do something, I want to work, I want to go win the world, to God win the world. And I was just thankful to be involved, thankful I was able to give. I didn't have a lot, but I was thankful to give a widow's mite. Thankful, amen, to give people a ride to church. Go pick up somebody and take them to church, amen? The word deacon in the Greek is the word diakoneo, which simply means to serve. Amen. Ruth chose to serve Naomi. And God grafted her into the very lineage of the Messiah. Elisha chose to serve Elijah, pouring water on the hands of the prophet, and will forever be known as the double portion man. He chose to serve. The first miracle started when Mary told the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. And you know the story how Jesus said, fill these water pots and bring them to the governor of the feast. And the water was turned into wine. And it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. But it started with, whatever he saith unto you, do it. The beginning of a miracle is if you can hear the voice of God. If you can hear God say, call your third cousin. If you can hear God say, go invite this person to church. If you can hear God say, go pray with that person. If you can hear God say, go start a business. If you can hear God say, speak this word right now to this person. Hallelujah. Jesus sat and talked to, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he sat and talked to that woman at the well. And when the disciples came back, amen, they said, Lord, aren't you hungry? He said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. I've got meat to eat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. There's an inner satisfaction that goes beyond food. Just knowing that you're flowing in the Father's will and hearing the Father's voice and speaking to somebody and edifying somebody and encouraging somebody. Hallelujah. There's no better reward, amen, than knowing that God is using you. Amen. Hallelujah. Six things God hates, seven are an abomination unto the Lord. The first one is a proud look. How many are humble here tonight? Who's the most humble? Raise your hand. One guy said, hey, you want to be humble, you look right here. Throughout time and throughout our Christian journey and our journey through this life, you learn to appreciate true friends. How many have some true friends? Be very thankful for them. Be very grateful for them. Friendships and unity requires forgiveness. If you cut off everyone who there's a misunderstanding or they were rude at some point, you probably won't have very many lasting friendships. Maybe about a 2-hour friendship. Or maybe 2 years, but at some point, you're going to have to forgive. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, fully God and fully man. But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul said, let this mind be in you. And wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. If we will humble ourselves, 1 Peter 5:6, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he shall exalt us in due time. Hallelujah. How many want to be exalted? I want God to promote and lift you up and elevate your situation. Amen. Raise you up to the next level. And somebody said it's our job to humble ourselves and God's job to exalt us and promote us. And if we try to do God's job, then he'll have to do our job. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. God will exalt you. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You'll always have a ministry if you're willing to serve. A genuine servant will never be without a job or without a ministry. Hallelujah. There's so many things you could do. You could pray for someone. You remember that first murderer? What did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? We got to turn those first two words around and say, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. The most famous quote from any president, ask not what your country can do for you. Well, how much more in the kingdom of God? Ask not, what can that church do for me? Ask, what can I do for God? What can I do for the kingdom of God? Where can I get involved? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To serve the Lord. Amen. A servant. Praise God. A true servant. Heaven will know your name. A true servant. Things are going to be a little different in heaven. Some of the ones who had a lot of attention down here might not be as high ranking in heaven. And some of the ones that nobody knew their name, you're going to be shocked to see where they are in heaven. because God looks on the heart. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. God, we thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the privilege of serving in your kingdom. Thank you for that opportunity to bear witness of you and your kingdom. Let us find something to do. Whatsoever our hands find to do it with all of our might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I normally try to preach a little longer than this, but I just feel I said everything God had for me to say. Let's lift our hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me of any time I've been out of balance or had my focus wrong, Lord. Oh, God, help me have a servant's heart. Help me have a heart of a servant, Lord. Help us have that spirit of foot washing. Oh, God, forgive me for arrogance and pride. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name, if you want to come down to the front and pray, I'm just going to invite you. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have a time of prayer? Amen. If you want to, down at the front. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just some time of prayer together. Praise the Lord. Let me be involved, God. Just let me be involved. There's no joy, no satisfaction like knowing that you're able to do something for God. Meat to eat that you know not of. If you can witness and speak a word just like Jesus did to that woman at the well, and you feel something flowing through you to encourage somebody else, something flowing through you to help bring someone else life and draw them closer to God. Hallelujah. God, help us be involved. Help me be involved, Lord. Let us find something to do, whatever our hands find to do. Let's do it with all our might. Thank you, Jesus.